and got a chance to go over what we talked about last week. And what did we talk about last week?
The grace that God extended to, I guess it was talking about Lot and how God's grace was even extended to him, even though he did what, you know, some
right,
of the
things
that
he did. Okay, sir. That made me feel good. What the whole, this is what I want us to understand. If we're going to get to heaven. When I say if we're going to get to heaven, because we got a choice in it. We're, what the Bible teaches is this. Not once saved, always saved, right? Yeah, because you done put so much in your 401k, right? You ain't worried about a retirement. Well, this don't work here. If you ain't got your 401k allocated to somebody when you die, the state go take it. Somebody go take it. But when it comes to God, we have to have a vision of getting to heaven. And that vision has to be continuously, right? It's like that debt policy. When you die, if you ain't paid that policy, somebody gonna scramble what to do with your body, right? Spiritually, when you die, while people scrambling down here to do what they gonna do with your body, God done already found a place of where your soul gonna be. Because your soul is gonna be in a place either prepared for prepared people or to stand before God to give an account of what's done in the flesh. So we, as much as we come to church, as much as we hear good sermons, you got to do your homework. Because the struggle for you and the struggle for me is different. But the devil is always in the details. And so when we start this lesson here, vision of grace, that's a vision that you and I have to have and understand, first of all, that vision, most of the Bible is giving us a vision of what happened so we can understand what could happen. Ain't going to be no mystery at the end of the day. God don't deal. All the mysteries of life has been revealed. That's why Ecclesiastes says there's going to come a time, and there is a time where you went and you go wherever you wanted to go, right? Based on preparing yourself, right? Anywhere you get ready to go, it's because you done prepared yourself to go. You ain't going to show up at Disney World without tickets, huh? What you going to do? You going to get there and might try to sell them a story, but you know what they're going to say? We done heard it all, preacher. It's not preacher's day. We need a ticket. And that's the earth. Well, why we play with God like he done told us what we need to do or what we need to do, when he done it all in his son, Jesus Christ. Proverbs say, Ecclesiastes says, gonna come a time, he said, when you were healthy and strong, you made plans. You went where you wanted to go. You went here and there. You wasn't worried about that. He said, but as you get old, you're gonna have to rely on how you did things, how you respected people, for people to carry you here and there. A safe place. You go into nursing homes, or even right now you just look. We're living in a time where just taking care of the elder is not something people just do. You know why? Because the younger generation, your children and my children coming up, they done forgot about parents and stuff when they get old. And we know health insurance. So all of that stuff is like, hey, we backing off of that stuff in America. You know, that's why you got people sleeping under the bridge. People who done, and so I didn't want to get, I'm trying to lay a foundation for this vision of grace. We all have a vision, as we said here. You got a vision already where somebody going to take you out to eat today, or you got the chicken or the roast already. You had to have a vision for that. You woke up with a vision of what you wanted to do. Every day you have a vision for what you're going to do for that day. What I'm saying is a vision of grace, I'm helping trying to get us to understand that grace in the Bible is the nature of God. Remember we said our anthem for understanding who we are and where we're going start off in Revelations, the 12th chapter, right? Revelation 12 chapter said there was a what in heaven? What happened? There was a war in heaven. And Satan was cast down into the earth. This is his kingdom. The kingdom of God came into fruition on the day of Pentecost, 33 AD, when Peter got up and preached the first gospel message. And people were added to the kingdom, and they've been added to the kingdom down to you. See, we don't have a vision of those people in Jerusalem are our kinfolks. Right? Because just like we sitting here, we hope to see or know one another in heaven. Oh, this was all done in vain if you don't remember where you came from, right? Right? You die and come back a frog. You die and come back a horse. You die and come back a mosquito, depending on how you acted before you died. That's what the world say. But we know when you die, you're going to come back as you are to give an account of what was done in the flesh. You see, I might look cross-eyed at you, and you might look cross-eyed at me, and everybody else will say, why are they looking cross-eyed at each other? You might know why, and I might not know why, but the Spirit of God knows why. And what I'm saying is, when you have a vision of who you are and why am I feeling like, or why I'm feeling this way about you, you feeling this way about me, and it don't fit in Scripture, we got to get that fixed. Right? We read the Bible, we come to church on Sunday to get a vision of something. Something going to be preached today. And our hope is just that we don't just become complacent. And by the time we get home and go to bed at night, we'd have forgot what was preached on. You know why? Because we don't take the major scriptures and go back and say, let me see if I got the vision of what he talked about. Am I actually putting it in my heart? I remember we used to have two services, right? And you couldn't remember what was preached at the first service sitting in the second service. I'm talking to myself now. Because at some point you had to mature the way that, well, this is just academics. We just come in here. You got people go to college their whole life, get a degree, and what they got to do, on-job training, because you get that and they tell you, forget about all that stuff. That's just something that you got to go through, right? Because they know they brought their son in without a college degree, and he know as much as them. But that's how the world operates. I'm saying you can't do that and go to heaven. You got to have a vision. And that vision got to be, every time we read God's word and study God's word, I got to know where I fit in that and where I stand in that. So like the sister said, you get an apple or something at the end of the... that's why the teachers used to do that. They used to do that to encourage people that, oh, the teacher might ask something, I'm going to get an apple today. Well, I'm telling you, your apple is waiting for you in heaven. Now, whether it's going to be nice and crispy or spoiled and rotten, when you see the apple, you're going to know what You know what's coming. And so what I'm saying is this. When we look at God's word, when we study God's word, when we look at Joseph and his brothers, that ain't about Joseph and his brothers. They're going to have to stand before God just like you and me to give an account of what they did in the flesh. That's written so your story could be right when you stand before them. That's why we come to church. To remember that this flesh is nothing nice. It wants to do what it wants to do. And what Satan does, all the stuff that we hadn't put under the blood of Christ, he knows, right? That's why James said if you're unstable, you're unstable in all things. Now, you could talk the talk and maybe act like you walk the walk, but you press the wrong button and you're going to see. That's what Jesus had to get straight with Peter. Peter, put that knife up. Peter was like, look, this knife get me respect. And look, ain't nobody going to disrespect me. And Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be disrespected all the way there. And then when I'm up there, all of your sins going to be put on me. And I'm going to take them away. But if you don't learn who you are, and compare yourself with Jesus, you're going to be in a worse state than what you started. That's why you got all the churches built up everywhere. Ain't nobody. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. Religion is, if it feels good, what is love? Well, we say God is love. The world say no, love is God. So if I say love is God, I can make love whatever I want it to be. But if I say God is love, then I got to go by God's definition of what love is, and that's what I got to teach. Yeah, I love my wife. I love my children. But we got to help each other stay under the grace of God. Somebody got to be right about this situation at times when I'm being poked by Satan, or she being poked by Satan, or the Satan is poking your children. Because as long as we got life in our body, let's start off, and then we're going to look at Joseph and his brothers. And Carolyn told me that I better stop this before the bell rings. So we're looking at Joseph and his brothers, but look what we're going to look at in the beginning. Genesis, the fourth chapter. Adam and Eve had a son. Then Eve said, I will name him Cain because I got him with the help of the Lord. That means she had a vision, right? She was looking for a son and nothing wasn't coming, but with the help of the Lord, she got a son. Is that how you look at your stuff? Huh? Do you look at your stuff as though you got it by the help of God? Because if you stop forgetting about that, you know what's going to happen? Your stuff going to have you. And it don't have to be a lot of stuff. That's what the whole Bible is about. Look, here's about some cabbage. Later, she said she had another son, and his name was Abel. Abel became a sheep farmer. But Cain farmed the land. One day Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord. And Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. He killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep and gave the Lord the best parts of it. The Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering, but not with Cain and his offering. This made Cain so angry that he could not hide his feeling. Ha! Let me tell you something. I was in Lawrence for 34 years. And boy, look, I can't tell you some of the stuff that angry people would do. Because they got bodies buried all over this country. Hey, look at what's going on now with, quote, the Epstein's file. Is that a movie? We're talking about children who've been abused, and it's a political talking point. Somewhere it looked like somebody should have got to the bottom of this, huh? But no, it's a Cain and Abel story. And this world live in a Cain and Abel story, but it shouldn't be in your house, and it shouldn't be in my house. Because either we're going to expose it for what it is, or we'll be around here like Corona. Remember how Corona shut things down? Uh-huh. You think that was just an example? How many people died of that? Because people took it, ain't worried about that, until it took its full effect in debt, like that debt that passed over, right, Egypt, right? It was taking everybody and anybody. Well, debt gonna take anybody and everybody one day. Either you're gonna be right with the Lord or you're not gonna be right, and you don't know when debt is coming. But you could get right today. You could get right. The day that God allows you to come and worship on a Sunday, you know how blessed that is? That's not just a routine thing. God invites you because you don't even know what tomorrow gonna bring. So how we come before God on that day and leave the same way we came in? Because it's a routine. Hey, brother, what 11:30, it's 12:30. Yeah, hi, everything's going good. How you like that sermon? I'm gonna call you today. You understand what I'm saying? If you stop drinking water, after a while, you know you need some water, huh? You go to the doctor and he tell you you're what? You're what? Well, they're hydrated. When hydration get to the point of what? Debt, we take it serious. Yeah.
We're talking about grace, and grace comes through faith.
Right.
And so we have to have the faith of God.
And faith comes by what?
By hearing the word of God.
Hey. Somewhere, that got to be as true as water fulfills a thirst. But we get to the point that we ain't thirsty no more. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I hear that verse. A lot of people hear stuff, they don't understand what it means.
Right.
I heard it.
Right.
But I didn't understand what it meant.
Right.
Now I'm screwing up.
Right. And that's my whole point, Charles. How can I hear something on a Sunday morning because I didn't read the Bible all the way up until Sunday, and I expect to get fed on a Sunday morning, but I don't go back with that which I was fed and regurgitate it, like the Bible said, like a cow do? A cow eats. But you know when the cow get his nourishment? After his belly been full, and he start to examine then what he done ate and start eating it again. They call it what, the curd? All of that stuff is put in the Bible just for what? To talk about?
I think that grace sometimes is misunderstood.
Right.
Because it is unmerited. You know, it's not anything that
right.
we can gain. But people think that that's what, you know, you could just do anything and then it's God's grace that's going to cover you. But that's not what, God's power comes through that, because even when Paul was suffering, remember, and he asked God to remove.
Right.
And God said, my
grace is sufficient, because I see tomorrow, Paul.
That's
not
right.
only that, Paul, I see them people over there that I need to send you to.
That's right.
And don't you worry about it. I'm going to get you there, and you don't even know you're going.
That's right. Cause it's not
now, a where you at that you don't know where you're going? I could tell you where you don't want to go. And the only way you could not go there, sis, is to have a vision of what God expected in my life. You ever been somewhere and you say, I'd have been there. You walk into a situation. I've been in a situation And indulge me for a moment, because everything God give us is for a reason. I've worked undercover. I worked a deal where guys had killed 17 people. And I got up to the third person in the organization. When you go in a situation like that, you better know when it's time to leave. You better know that you need to stay close to the door. You can't forget where you at, because where you at is not where you want to stay. And you better know for what reason you there. You there to do business and to leave. Look, we got to do God's business because we leaving. Right? And you got a part in it. That's what grace is about. Grace is about, hey, I was shot at, but they didn't hit me. The grace. Right? I was punched at, but they didn't hit me, because you were looking in the duck. That's how sin is. And it's a little bitty stuff that catch our children that usually grow into big stuff. They don't see. We don't see that sin. And I'm going to paraphrase this, because I ain't going to get where I need to be. But Cain and Abel, right? He knew what God expected. First lamb, God always wants the first. You know why? Because that's where you put your mind at. That's what you, look what I produce. This is the first. You want to show off the first, right? God said, because you feel that way about it, can you give it back to me? Because it came from you. Abel was that. Cain show up with some old rotten potatoes, carrots that he wouldn't eat. And God say, what's the deal? To the point that in his heart, who he end up, he don't want to talk to God. What do you want to do? He want to talk to his brother. Man, you're making me look bad. Huh? Church of Christ, we good at making the Baptists look bad. We want to make the Catholic look bad. But by the grace of God, we didn't got past our little stuff, so we stopped telling each other we got boogers in our nose. Yeah, bro. After a while, everybody got boogers hanging out their nose, right? Could become used to them. But a kid will come up to you and say, Brother Banks, you got a booger in your nose. I don't mind. Tell me if I got a booger in my nose. Huh? Because I don't want to bring disgrace on myself. Well, that's the same way with sin. That's why, who gonna know about your wife? And that's why you see all through the Bibles you got conspiracies. You know? You mean to tell me that Sarah didn't know what Abraham was up to when he said, tell him, you're my sister? And now she in somebody else's house, and the old king just waiting for his, he got them lined up. Oh, no, but you see, that's ungodly to talk like that. There's more ungodly stuff in the Bible than godly stuff. Because God want to show us you don't have to go down the same path. And so grace, like you were saying, sis, is God being big enough to show us people that love him and the mistakes that they made, but his grace was sufficient. You know why? Because as long in this earth, we gonna fall for something. But you know what? We fall down, but we get up. I heard that somewhere. Not only that, we help one another get up. Even if we got to speak truth to one to another. It might hit me or feel bad about it a little while. But can't walk around here buck naked and talking about how nice my clothes are. You remember that? The king? He had Rumpelstiltskin. And the kids say, he ain't got no nice clothes on, he buck naked. And then all of a sudden the king realized how much a fool he is. Well, we don't have to become a fool to the world. We ought to be able to tell one another, right? Before we get to that point. So grace is having the ability and enough God in you to suffer and know that God's grace is sufficient. Because where there's grace, there's no judgment. Where there's grace, we can have a conversation about what's going on. And what happened with Cain and Abel? Instead of him, like, man, look, man, I can't get my stuff together, Abel. You know, help me plant this cabbage, man. So I want to give God the best of what. Nah, he said, let's go take a walk. What you think they're talking about the whole while they're walking? You ever thought about that? It got to the point where Cain got so perturbed that he did what? He bust his brother in the head. Because only thing Abel could tell him is, hey man, look, this is what God wanted. There ain't no question about it. We don't have to debate about it because God is God and we not. Look around. It's just you and us and mom and dad there. And all these animals that went to have us. We don't put all that into the equation. You know, there's no cosmopolitan area or city. You talking about raw earth and people being relying on God. You know why? Because they had a vision that God's going to take care of us. And because God take care of us, we ought to offer him his what? Our best. Cain couldn't get there. That story about Cain, Cain gonna have to stand before God, but it's here for us. And so that same story is all through the Bible, and that's what we look at with Joseph and his brothers.
Falsely accused of a hideous crime for which he was imprisoned? That's what we're about to learn from Robin Dunaway, an enrollment and advancement representative at Heritage Christian University, who shows us that the story of Joseph is an illustration of God's grace.
Thank you for being with us for the Berean series. We're happy that you have chosen to be a part of this. Our theme this year is Visions of Grace, and I think perhaps maybe one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament is the story of Joseph, who in some sense has this vision of grace from an early age, and he's able to carry out his mission, although unclear to him at times, but always with integrity and with obedience. And those things, I think, are key to help our personal visions of grace. First of all, I want to discuss with you about a vision. And they say that there are two kinds of people in the world, those who live for the here and now, and those who live for the future or plan for the future, but still are able to live in the here and now. I think that Joseph is the one who has the ability to live in the here and now, but know that there's a bigger picture. Joseph's brothers, on the other hand, are the epitome of those who live for the here and now. And so, as we look in on Joseph's story, We're going to get to see some things early on in Joseph's life that I believe are very key to what makes Joseph successful, what makes him able to serve, and what ultimately helps him to save his people. As we look into it in the book of Genesis, right back in the beginnings, beginning in verse 37, we get to see in some part the foundation for Joseph's ability to have this vision. And in the passage beginning in verse 2, this is the account of Jacob. Joseph, it says, a young man of 17 was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about the brothers. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And so, in essence, what you're beginning to see is this love that Joseph has for his father and the love that the father has for Joseph. On the other hand, the brothers who recognize this are totally not fine with it. And so, thus the story begins in terms of Joseph and his visions of grace. And I think what's interesting here in terms of Joseph's ability to have the vision, it's not just a blind vision, but Joseph gets the ability and the presence of mind to see what God's vision for him was. And so, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 37, it said, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up right while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to it. His brother said, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Now, many times you and I have the same ability. This dream was given as a sort of an indicator of what the future would be. While Joseph took it to heart, his brothers were angry about it. Now you think about this in terms of our modern day. You see, we have a difficulty sometimes to see him down the road. In fact, in some ways, we kind of approach God at times, and I want to be careful how I say this, but sometimes we say, God, what have you done for me today? Rather than recognizing that there's a time coming when we will be living in a land of milk and honey when we're found faithful in Jesus Christ. But somehow we begin to lose sight of that. And we begin to live for, God, you need to bless me today, not in the eternity. Well, Joseph gets the dream, and it allows him some sort of a vision. Now, like I said, he doesn't always know exactly what this vision means, and we'll find that out as this story unfolds. But what is noteworthy is that he always keeps the vision in the forefront. Even though the here and now is happening, the vision is there. Now, in that same way, when we talk about grace, I want us to recognize something about grace that is very, very important. It is rooted in forgiveness and integrity. And so when we understand that those two things are paramount for grace, then we recognize that in some way our vision has to do with our obedience and integrity. And the integrity, if I can oversimplify that word, means doing the right thing no matter who's looking. And so when we talk about this next portion of the story, we're going to see some integrity lacking in the brothers, but yet Joseph, his integrity and obedience is in place. Now, I want to also mention this double story here because there's going to be a second part of this dream that is going to reinforce the vision. And so in verse 9 of chapter 37, it says, then he had another dream, And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you've had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept the matter in mind. And so now he gets a second dose of the vision that's coming. And so when we talk about living, the difference between living in the here and now, and whether or not we're going to understand that there's a future, then we understand that sometimes we get that glimpse, and whether we take it to heart or not is another matter. In the story, obviously Joseph is taking it to heart. On the other hand, his brothers are fighting against it. And even though his father rebukes him, notice that he says, it's tacked up in my heart. I've kept it on board. And so in the scheme of the Joseph story, we're going to see it unfold a little bit so that what happens to the here and now versus what happens in the future also makes a difference in our vision of grace. And so let's read further. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them. Very well, he replied, and I want you to note the obedience there for Joseph. And then he says, when Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the field and asked him, what are you looking for? He replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me they are supposed to be grazing their flocks? Now, in the scheme of obedience, Joseph has done exactly what he's supposed to do. In the other sense, with the brothers, they were told to go to Shechem, but yet when he arrives there, they're not there. So the integrity of the brothers, who tend to live for the here and now, are in question as we look at things. And so he says, no, they've moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. And so Joseph shows up in Dothan, and sure enough, he finds the brothers. And what we already know about those brothers is they're already angry with him because he is the favored one. And then to add to that, they've received this vision. Now remember, when I say they, Joseph received the vision, but they got to be privy to it. So did they take it to heart, or did they harden their heart to that story? And of course, the obvious answer is they've hardened their heart. So when Joseph shows on the scene, now the brothers are planning to do away with him. Look, in terms of what's right and wrong, I want you to think about this. As you're traveling down the highway, and I want to be very cautious about this because I'm not making an indictment here, but if the speed limit is 70, and you're doing 70, guess what? The policeman is your best friend. On the other hand, if you're doing 80, and you're supposed to be doing 70, the other side of that coin is now the policeman becomes your worst enemy, in a sense, because he can now call you into account for disobeying the law. That's the way the Joseph brothers saw Joseph. They recognized that what they've done was wrong, and Joseph is not going to be their friend here. Not that he doesn't love his brothers, but that he will call them into account. Dad told you to do this, but yet you're doing this, and so they begin to plot against him. And of course, as we unfold the story, you remember that the brothers throw Joseph down into the pit or the well. In terms of what they were trying to accomplish, they wanted to kill him. On the other hand, Reuben comes and he says, you know what, I don't want to kill him, so we need to rethink this. And I'm paraphrasing at this point, but what I want us to also see is that in the process, their goal, because of the here and now, is to do away with Joseph. They have no idea that down the road, they're going to be counting on Joseph to save their lives. Now, you could maybe say that they don't know the end of the story, and to that is true. Also, Joseph doesn't know the end of the story, but I will assure you that they have gotten the word through these dreams that there is something else coming.
We know what God gives us is a movie to look at in the Bible. That's what the movie. Think about the Bible as a movie. And the movie is for real. It's not fantasy. And the script is written for you. I need to look at this vision and see where do I fit in the script. And I fit in the script based on where I am in my life. That's how God is. I could be walking this way, and God's word could make me turn all the way around and go the other way. Why? Because he tells me, don't go any further. If you go any further, you walk out of my grace into Satan's trap. That's what any decision. That's what a business decision. Like Brother Reed said, your spidey sense ought to be your spiritual sense. Not because I'm wise or smart, because, wait a minute, this sounds just like the story about Joseph. Why I'm hitting on him, because he's saying this don't fit in God's vision. Or I'm hitting on him because we don't want to talk about God's vision. You know why? Because I got a vision of my own. I know where I want to take this thing. Nah. You don't get in an Uber and say, take me where you want to take me. Because you might end up in some dark place. Because they don't do a criminal check on a lot of them Uber people. A lot of the Uber people, I don't want to go that with it, but I'm telling you, it's just a job for the time being sometimes, right? You looking for a taxi that's certified, got a big number on it. So if I get in there and it ain't going where yet, I can call in and say, I'm in taxi so-and-so, and something's going on wrong here. You saw the movie? The movies they make about crazy stuff? They go through police reports with that and say, ooh, this is nice and bloody. And boy, we love to see blood. But we... Hebrews, the 10th chapter, say, but you know what the church does? We trample over the blood of Christ. See, every time we continue to sin, we treat Christ's blood like it's a pool of water out in the street to be jumped over, crossed over, or trampled through. This is what grace is about. Grace is when I come to that crossroad when I say, oh, my Christian sense don't feel good about that. You don't rewrite the script. I can't rewrite the script for my daughter. I can't rewrite the script for my son. I can't rewrite the script for my wife. Right? Wouldn't Lot have liked to do that? We talked about Lot last week, right? He would have liked to rewrite the script for his wife. But it was what it was. And because what was in her heart, she did what? Oh, man. I had an appointment for 3 o'clock to get my hair done. And she turned around and looked back because where her mind and heart was. Her heart and mind was back there. Our heart and mind can't become just when we come to 431 and then when we hit the door, we get back to doing our, get back to where we are, right? I'm going to zip up, be tight, and be undercover. Until I leave them doors. But everybody know who I am that's in the house. Everybody know the sin I'm dealing with. We just stopped calling it sin now. Oh, they just got to get to where they mature. They just go, nah, you had enough God's word to know right from wrong. Right? That's why Abel looked at Cain and said, what's up, bruh? He told you the same thing he told me. You just need to stop being so cheap. Think it went like that? It went some kind of way, because at one point, Cain said, shut up, Negro, or whatever he was, and busted him in the head. We want people to shut up. Right? People that God done put in our lives. Don't get holy on me. Everybody do wrong. Everybody don't go to jail who do wrong. We're talking about everybody. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ who serving God. Now the homework is to go and read Romans the 13th chapter. And so we're going to look at another visions next week. I made it. Let's bow in prayer. Dear God Almighty, we praise your holy name. We thank you, dear God, this morning that you accept us before your throne. We come humbly, dear Lord. We come with the understanding that we're covered by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. That makes us, dear Lord, your children in your presence. We come, dear Lord, hoping and allowing your word to examine us, dear Lord, that we might be cleansed by the blood of Christ on those things that we are not in agreement with your word. We want to change, dear Lord. We want to be a holy people. We want to be a church at 431 Franklin that glorifies your holy name, that comes into your presence to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you have mercy on us, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.